I know Thanksgiving is next weekend, but as most of us, as we feel the nights getting cooler and we see the leaves on the trees have been changing color, and as time progresses, the leaves are starting to fall off and off the trees, and we know it's the end of our summer and a new season is starting, and it's fall. And I know, going through our garden and picking up the last little bit of our harvest, I had to reflect on our summer. It's hard to believe it's behind us now, and now we're coming into the next part of the fall winter season. And I think as we collect our garden produce and stuff that we get out of the garden, and some of your farmers, and as you're harvesting the bigger crops, we can look back and we can see evidence of God, you know, providing for our physical needs. And this morning, we want to look at what is the gift that God has given to us. Yes, we are thankful for the gift of providing us with friends and providing us with the bounties of harvest, and for the many blessings that he gives to us, or the gifts that he gives to us. But how much more can we thank God for the spiritual gift, the gift of salvation? And if we reflect on what Christ has done for me on the cross, and this morning the title I'd like to title the message, "Without Shedding of Blood, There's No Remission of Sin." One of my friends posted on an update on his phone a message that was, "Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin." And I had to think of, as a Christian, do I reflect back often enough? Do I think back often enough at what does the cross mean? What is the cross? And we oftentimes we pray and we thank God for the blood and the power of the blood, but what does it, like, personally, each one of us, how does it affect us personally when we think of the spiritual need that God supplied for us? Isaiah 53, 3 to verse 5, it goes like this. Isaiah 53, verse 3, it says, "He is despised and rejected, a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. And he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath bore our grief and carried our sorrow, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, and chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed." And I had to think, when I was reading those verses, is without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. Without the work of the cross, there is no forgiveness of sins. And think verse 3, where it says, "And he was despised, and we esteemed him not." And I had to think of myself, in how much do I appreciate, how much do I value what Christ has done on the cross? It's something that we almost can become complacent in our Christian life, that yes, we're thankful to God what he's done, but how do we embrace the what Christ went through on the cross, that we can have new life through him? And I myself, I want this morning to reflect on that, is how much of, what kind of a value do I put on that, on the blood, the blood that Christ shed for me? I want to read a few verses in Matthew 16, 24 to 27 we're going to read, but I want to read it in the Amplified Version. But turn with me to Matthew 16. Matthew 16, 24. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone who wishes to follow me as my disciple, he must deny himself, set aside selfish interest, and take up his cross, expressing a willingness to endure whatever may come and follow me, believing in me, conforming to my example in living, and if he need be, suffer or perhaps dying because of faith in me." Now, verse 25, "For whoever wishes to save his life in this world will eventually lose it through death. But whoever loses his life, that is life with me for all eternity." Verse 26, "For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world wealth, fame, and success, but forfeits his soul? Or what will a man gain in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man is going to come in the glory and the majesty of his Father with angels, and then he will repay each one in accordance with what he has done." That's the Amplified Version of these verses. By taking up the cross, you're taking up truth, you're taking up hope, you're taking up love, the cross of Christ. And this is where I think myself comes into the picture a lot, where I myself want to have a say. And the cross of Christ will snuff out anything that has to do with myself. Self has to be taken out of the picture in order for the cross to have an effect. And when we take self out, that's when we can, when Christ, and we take up the cross of Christ, and that's when we can glorify God. God doesn't ask us to take up the cross, where it says in verse 24, "If any man come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." Christ is not asking us, or Jesus is not asking us, to be bent beneath the load day after day of a heavy load upon us. That's not what he's calling us, but he's calling us to deny self. And when we deny self, then we lean upon him and we allow him to take control. I think some of us, we have made our own cross. And in verse 25 to 26, it says, For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? And what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" I think sometimes we make our cross heavy because we live a life of despair. We live a life of doubt. We live a life of frustration. And Jesus doesn't offer us a burdensome cross of bondage because Christ, he has conquered all. He rose after he died. He rose on the. He rose again, and that's what makes the cross a cross of victory. And that is for each one of us. We can have victory. The cross of Christ is a central part of our Christian faith. The cross reveals the character of God, and I think I need to get a better understanding of what the cross is. What is the cross? And I think when we talk about Christ, the cross revealing the character of God, that is, the character of God is that he has a great love for the lost sinner. And the perfect justice was met on the cross when his son said, "It is finished." If we want to grow in Christ and we want to have a better understanding of what the cross is and who Christ is, we need to take on the first commandment to love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind. And when we grow to that understanding, and we grow in godliness, we will get a better understanding of the significance of the cross. Think the devil today, when we look around at society today, the devil, he tries to convince Christians. He convinces people around the world. I wouldn't only say it's in Canada, it's in all of America, or I believe it would be across the whole board. The devil does not like the cross because it seals his doom and it shows that he was defeated. And he is relentless in his attacks to the Christian to undermine the value that the cross holds. And I think, like what I mentioned before, is we can become really complacent in our Christian life and do not put the proper value of what the cross is. And I think the doctrine that the devil is trying to persuade or convince the modern Christian is the doctrine of sin. The devil is trying to convince us that we are not sinners and we don't deserve the wrath of God on our lives, and that we don't. And when he can convince us that we are good enough, then we don't need a crucified Savior. So where do we value, or where do we, of what does a cross signify, or what does a cross mean to you personally? If he can convince us that we don't need to come before Christ daily, on a daily time to commune with him, or a daily time of repentance, come before Christ, he has us convinced. And when we read through the New Testament, we know where Paul and Peter, how they encourage us to constantly come before for Christ, to come before him in repentance. And when we recognize our need of a Savior in our life on a daily basis, we will get a better understanding, and we will appreciate the work of the cross more. And I want to look at Hebrews 9. Turn with me to Hebrews 9. We're going to look at a few of these verses. Hebrews 9. We're going to start reading at 11 down to 28. Hebrews 9, 11 to 28. And this is speaking about the beginning of this is talking about the Old Testament time, how the priests had to go beforehand to kill a calf and the blood, and we know what the Old Testament required of the people, and it shows how Christ is a much better sacrifice, or much better the shedding of the blood. With the shedding of blood, there is remission, there is forgiveness for sin. Verse 11, but Christ being come, a high priest of good things to come, but a greater, more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building. Neither by the blood of goats or calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and in the ashes of heifer sprinkled the unclean sanctified to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offer himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And for this cause he's the mediator of the New Testament, but by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. For what a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of a testator. For a testament is of force after man is dead, otherwise it is of no strength at all whilst the testator living. Whereupon neither the first testament was dedicated unto without blood. For when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and of goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop, and sprinkled both the book and all the people, saying, "This is the blood of the testament which God hath enjoined unto you." Moreover, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. And also all things are by the law purged with blood. And without shedding of blood is no remission of sin. It was therefore necessary that the pattern of things in heaven should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ is not entered into the holy place made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now appear in the presence of God for us, not yet that we should offer himself often as a high priest entereth into the high place every year with blood of others. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. How now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sins by the sacrifice of himself. As it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this the judgment. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. Unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. It's not a lovely passage of how Christ has taken the place of the goats and the calves and the heifers or whatever it's talking about, all the different blood. And it says, because of what Christ has done. What has Jesus done? What does that mean to you? Like it says in verse 14, it says, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offer himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve a living God. The power, the price of the blood that was shed that we can have life. The cross. Without shedding of blood, there is no remission. There had to be the shedding of blood that we can have forgiveness of sin. So the question is that we can ask ourselves, how is it that I am sick? Or how is it that I can find healing in my life? Is there a physician that can be found that can restore my soul to health? And I say this morning, there is. Jesus is a great physician, the work of the cross. He is the healer of our souls. There is evil around us, and it tries to bombard and work its way into our life. And how is it that I can escape the wrath that will come without the shedding of blood? There is no remission. There is no forgiveness of sin. People try to pardon themselves or to find pardon without the work of the cross. Like it says in these verses in Hebrews, people try to find it through good works, being a good person, but that is not, just being a good person is not what's going to wash away your sins or where you will find remission, only through Christ. One of the things that the cross shows about God's character is that with him sending Christ to bear our sins, it means that God does not shrug off sin. And when we look at society, we live in a really, really loose justice system. We can see people get by depending on how good of a lawyer or depending on how good who's the spokesperson for them. We can see people get by with committing horrible crimes with very, very little consequences that they have to face for whatever they have done. We know that is not justice. Many people think that God's justice system works like that too. They shrug off sin as if it's not a really big deal in their life. And they think that somehow that sin is not as big as maybe someone else has committed. So they shrug it off. And that's not how God's justice system works. He will not overlook it. Otherwise, the Bible is not telling us the truth. God is a just God, and God has made a way. God has sent his son. that we can have forgiveness of sins in our life. All sin must be judged. Either your sin is on you, and you will bear the penalty of your sin, or your sin is on Christ, who bore the penalty for your sin. It is a choice. It is a free will. It is a will that God has placed in each of us. Each one of us is going to be accountable to God for who we are and what we've done. And that is the power of the cross. Either way, God does not take that sin lightly. There is a penalty that will need to be paid. Now I want to look at Luke 22, if you care to turn with me to Luke 22. Luke 22, verse 39 to verse 44. You know, I want us to just, as we read these verses, I want us to feel, what did Jesus, before he was taken before Pilate and before he was arrested and before he was crucified, when he was at the Mount of Gethsemane, the agony that Jesus went through. And I want us, when we look at the cross and we think of the shedding of blood, what did Christ endure before that? And I want us to just take this personally. How is it affecting you when you think of what Christ has done for you in your life? And as we read these verses, verse 39 of Luke 22, and he came out and went. As he went to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, pray that ye enter not into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and knelt down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down on the ground. And when he rose up from prayer and was come to his disciples, he found them sleeping for sorrow. And he said unto them, why sleep ye? Rise and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. What does verse 44 say? Well, verse 42 first, here Jesus, he knelt down and he's praying. And he says, Father, if thou be willing to remove this cup from me, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. He knew what he was about to face. Verse 43, and the angel came, and they strengthened him, and being in agony of prayer more earnestly, and his sweat was as it were, great drops of blood falling down on the ground. For this cause, in John 12, 27, it says, for this cause come I unto this hour. Are we thankful enough for the gift, for the spiritual gift of the cross that Christ, he endured, that we can have forgiveness for sins, that we can have peace, that we can have joy and have that relationship with God? Do we appreciate, do we value that enough? I come across a poem, and the poem says, the cross of Christ. The jeering crowd like jackals stood to see what must be done. Though once they thought this man was good, they didn't see God's son. They called him rabbi, teacher, lord, yet now he was Rome's slave. So all his claim was now ignored, for who was he to save? The nails were driven deep inside, more drops of blood soon fell. Once lifted, hoisted, crucified, his life was just like hell. Torment and torture lay ahead, excruciating pain. His scorched back stung him, bled as briars bruised his brain. His mother wept each passing hour, dear God, have pity, please. And yet there came no sign of power, no rescue, no release. His shoulders gambled for his clothes. When washed, and they'd be clean. His life and death the Father chose. Thus stays the Nazarene. It is finished, the Savior cried with one great final sigh. Though not defeated as it seemed, for Christ had to die. To think the Holy Spirit shares forgiveness in his name. No other man on earth compares. No one could do the same. For all the sin and gone astray, like sheep in darkest night. But blessed are they that find the way and walk within his light. He died for you, he died for me. God's Son fulfilled God's plan. From Calvary came clemency. Behold the Son of God, the Son of Man. Behold the blood, behold the Lord. For this man was the Christ, the Lamb of God, his heart outpoured, the Savior sacrificed. No one could count the sins God sees that Jesus suffered for. Behold the precious Prince of Peace, the King of Love and More. I thought that was a really fitting poem. Do we embrace the cross? First Peter 2:24 says, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on a tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness. By those stripes ye are healed. We can find forgiveness. If you're struggling in your life, there's something in your life that's coming between you and God. There need not be anything between you and God this morning. Through Christ's death on the cross, those who turn to him are delivered from both the penalty and the power of sin. He himself bore our sins on the tree. And are we thankful enough this morning? Are we grateful enough? If we go back to Genesis 32, and we think of how Jacob, he wrestled with the angel when he was trying to make, I wouldn't call it a treaty, but he wanted to meet up with Esau. And Jacob was standing there, and he got his family across the river. And he was there all alone. And the angel came down and he wrestled with the angel. And they wrestled all night, it says in Genesis 32. And as the dawn was starting to break, the angel asked Jacob to let him go. And Jacob said, no, I will not let you go till I receive a blessing from you. I will not let you go unless I receive a blessing from you. And the question I want to ask ourselves, do we embrace the cross? Or do we just willingly let go? Do we become very complacent in our Christian life? Or do we say, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner? There's no other way I can find peace but through you. And I'm thankful this morning that there is, with the shedding of blood, there is remission of sin. And I'm thankful for that this morning. Without the cross, I'm a lost individual. For a closing verse, I want to look at 1 Peter 1. We're going to look at a couple verses in 1 Peter. 1 Peter 1, 18 to 25 is the verse I'd like to read this morning. Actually, let's start reading in verse 13, and then we're going to go to verse 25. 1 Peter 1, verse 13. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober, be hope to the end of... For the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashion yourself according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, Be ye holy, for I am holy. And if ye call on the Father, who without respecter of person judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear, for as much as ye know that ye are not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold for your vain conversation received by the tradition from your father, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world and was manifested in those last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as of grass, and all the glory of man as a flower of the grass. The grass withereth, the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of God endureth forever. And this, the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. And again, here we see that for as much as ye know that ye are not redeemed by corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation, or received by tradition from your father, it is none of that. It doesn't really matter the wealth. It doesn't really matter your status. It doesn't really matter who you are. The important thing is that it doesn't really matter where we come from. But one thing that does matter is, but with the precious blood of Christ, in verse 19, but with the precious blood of Christ is a lamb without blemish and without spot. Christ has made a way. And I'm so thankful this morning. And my encouragement would be to each one of us this morning, as we reflect on who Christ is in on the cross, what agony Christ went through, that we can have the freedom, that we can have the peace. What did Christ have to go through that we can have life through him? That's my encouragement to you this morning. May God bless.